The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program. Glenn still on vacation until a few days from now. He'll be back. 888-727-BECK. Almost forgot the phone number. It's been a while. Because normally we're doing the Pat Gray Unleashed show immediately following this show on the Blaze Radio and Television Network. Tune in then as well. Interesting couple of weeks over the holidays. Hope you had a great Christmas and New Year's. And there was certainly some interesting New Year's celebrations. CNN, for instance, showed America how to do bong hits. Isn't that great?
Yes.
Yeah, it was very helpful, especially if your kids are watching and they're not familiar with how to actually take a bong hit. If they're not familiar with a gas mask bong, now they are, which is pretty helpful. Thank you, CNN.
Well, nothing says ring in the new year like a gas mask bong.
Sure doesn't. And so that's apparently what CNN thought as well. I mean, because I guess because they didn't have Kathy Griffin to be super offensive and do ridiculously stupid things. They had another CNN reporter do something stupid and ridiculously insane things. They actually had a reporter in Colorado on a cannabis, which is a pot bus on the way to a pot party where they were going to paint and do pot. I guess.
I mean, that was their whole guys for the news
that was
story.
The whole,
in a bus.
Right.
Reporting from Colorado where it's legal.
Yes, except for it's not. Because the state law does not supersede federal law. And smoking pot is still illegal on a federal level. So Colorado, California, Washington, and I believe there's a few others continue to break federal law by writing their own local and state laws. And it's interesting because CNN took advantage of that.
Yes, they did.
Their reporter actually put on a gas mask bong, and it was already filled, I guess, stuffed with
pot. No, I don't think so.
Pot.
I think they filled it up later.
She said it was already stuffed. Well, here's the report. It's a really good one, and hopefully you got a chance to see it. If not, I really highly recommend you go to YouTube and have your children watch it so that they understand.
All right, well,
to do a bong hit. Here's that segment.
I do want to go to Randy Kaye. She's joining us again, along with a she's in Colorado, where I guess recreational marijuana
she's
use.
Surrounded by weed. Did you get me the Chiba Chews?
She's
yet,
on a pot bus, basically. How's it going, Randy?
It's going great. I'm definitely earning the nickname Kush K, that's for sure. Right. Oh, yeah. Oh,
I don't get that reference, do you? You must.
How do you know what Kush?
No. Pat. Honestly, I don't.
Stop.
A Kush K is what?
You're embarrassing yourself.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. I'm sorry I'm not hip enough to the hip to the pot culture as I should be. You don't even know what
guess,
that is?
I can guess what it is, but you know, I don't know for sure what
Seriously?
She's referring to.
You don't
to.
Even know?
No, I don't.
Oh, wow.
Well, right. Everybody knows what Kush is. So listen, I came prepared, you know, this year. I thought maybe I would bring a gas mask with me so I wouldn't, you know, get that contact high. But look at what's on the other end of the gas mask. Yes, a bong. And of course,
unbelievable.
They couldn't stand to see a bong that didn't have any cannabis in it.
See?
So you actually put it in
there,
the bong. You filled it up.
It with pot.
And you packed it. Okay, so you're going to, now what? Now you're going
to
celebrate a little New Year's early or what?
I'm going to be honest with you, I've never hit one of these.
Oh, right.
Before, so
okay.
She's at this point reaching back and lighting the bong for him.
I don't think this is really what a gas mask is used for, but
Wow, okay.
This is New Year's Eve Denver
this
style,
This is legal
everybody.
In Colorado.
I know.
Okay. Oh, boy.
I'm moving
it
to Colorado.
It is legal. It is very legal. Wow. But we are making our way to a puff, pass, and paint party. Yes, Anderson, go.
Puff, pass, and paint.
Okay, yeah, so just explain what...
I mean, that is unbelievable.
That sure is.
That is unbelievable. People were actually tweeting, you know, and keep in mind, these are CNN fans, presumably, you know, so they're probably somewhat left of center. And even the CNN viewers weren't especially appreciating it because they had kids watching the New Year's Eve.
Watching with the family.
Yeah. Hey, I got to turn this off because you're showing my kids how to do bong hits. That's our job, darn it. What has happened to journalism in this country? Well, it just doesn't exist anymore.
Well, to be a little bit fair, CNN has always tried to be aloof on New Year's with their coverage, right? I mean, that's why the Kathy Griffin and the Anderson Cooper. And that's
you can't
why
have it both ways,
it.
Though. And I don't I know why that. Anderson I, Cooper continues still, to put his credibility on the line like this.
Because I think he just has fun with it, right? I mean, I don't know. I seriously don't know, but I guess he just has fun with it.
Would Walter Cronkite have had fun with a bong hit?
Times are a little bit different than that.
A little bit different, yeah. Yeah, clearly.
I mean, a little bit different.
Clearly.
I mean, Walter probably wouldn't have broadcast himself with a, you know, a pot mask.
Huntley Brinkley probably wouldn't have, you know, donned the bong mask.
They may have. You know, they may have if there was a bus.
McNeil Lair. Yeah, perhaps. You know, maybe. Maybe.
I mean, who am I to say?
Americans? We're Americans. That's who we are to say. And it's just, it's embarrassing.
That's for sure.
How far downhill television news has traveled. It's incredible. It is literally embarrassing. And I'm not even a CNN fan, and I'm just horrified on their behalf because they're not horrified enough.
No, they are not. No, they are not. They could care less. And if you weren't fortunate enough to be able to watch it, I just tweeted the story out at JeffyMRA, so you'd be able to see it for yourself and share it with your family if you missed it on New Year's Eve, because, you know, for sure you want to be able to. Yeah, let your kids know how to wear the mask properly.
Right. If you're not familiar enough to teach them, CNN certainly is and was and handled that
so
for you.
Bad.
I mean, it just shows you that America's gone to pot.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Traffic and weather together every 3 minutes on the twos. I got that right. It's actually every 2 minutes on the threes.
Thank you.
Yeah, we changed it for the new year.
So
but if you want some actual hard-hitting CNN news, they did take the opportunity yesterday to make sure to bash the president again.
Of course.
In a ridiculous way, in a not introspective way, having no clue for the way they've gone overboard on Trump criticism. They had Woodward and Bernstein on a segment, and actually it was so ridiculous that Woodward actually jumps in at the end of Bernstein's rant about what a great job the press is doing generally and kind of corrects it just a bit.
And we need to admit our mistakes. We oughtn't to be too provocative, which we sometimes are with a president who's putting a lot of bait out there. And sometimes we take the bait and get a little petty.
So, see, it's not their fault, according to Bernstein. Even then, it's not their fault. He's put out the bait, and we've taken it.
I'd like to see a lot less of criticizing on our air the president for playing golf. Let him play all the golf he wants. I don't think that's our job. We've got a deadly, serious inquiry in front of us, and reporting, by and large, by the mainstream press, by the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, the Wall Street Journal, has been some of the greatest reporting of the presidency that we have seen in the last 50, 60 years.
Amen, Carl.
Amen from the little CNN reporterette.
You didn't hear me the first
time. Hallelujah. Yes, we are the greatest. We've done the greatest job on reporting on the president in the last 50, 60. Let's not even stop there. Let's say since the dawn of time, we've done the greatest reporting on a president that anyone's ever done.
Amen.
Are you kidding me? But she's eating it up.
Just real quickly.
Finally, in comes Bob Woodward.
The tone is a big issue here.
And, I agree.
Yes.
And lots of reporting, particularly on television commentary, there's a kind of self-righteousness and smugness and people kind of ridiculing the president.
Where are the amens now? Amen! Amen! Hallelujah! No, complete silence.
When we reported on Nixon, it was obviously a very different era. But we did not adopt a tone of ridicule. The tone was, what are the facts?
I have to, before we go, I have to ask about something that you informed me about.
Before we go, I've got to change the subject now, because now you're criticizing us, and I can't have that, because I was given the amens and the hallelujahs to Bernstein, who was attacking the president and calling our job the greatest in the last 50 to 60 years. Really? Come on.
Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, we've done a great job. They've got no, they have no realization of the kind of job they've actually done, which has been horrific. They gave no criticism at all to the last president. They gave, they never paid attention to the fact, I mean, they call Trump a liar all the time, and he's, you know, had his share of lies, but never did they call Barack Obama out on lying virtually every day. Well, they didn't even notice it. They didn't care about it. They did no reporting on it that was critical. What was it? 5% of the mainstream media's reports have been positive on Donald Trump.
The first 60 days, for sure. And this year has been horrifically negative toward President Trump.
Yeah, it's something like 62 to 65% or something of all reporting has been negative on
it. I we've talked about this a couple times in the past, last year, they make us defend him. I mean, we want to be able to say, look, here's what's happening. Here's the facts. This is what's going on, whether we like it or not, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's true, whether it's false. But instead of that, we have to say, well, give the guy a break.
Yeah. Well, because they're so
everything
overboard.
Is wrong.
They're so unbelievably overboard in their criticism of Trump that it almost forces you
it does.
To defend him.
I mean, he is the president after all.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to break that to you, but he won.
Yes, he did.
Won.
They don't want to admit that.
No, they do not.
But it is the fact. All right. This half of the Glenn Beck program brought to you by Simply Safe. If you've been thinking about your home security, there's no better time to get it than right now. You've heard Glenn, you've heard Stu, you've heard me sing the praises of Simply Safe Home Security. And that's because it's just the best home protection you can get, period. Simply Safe has put together a massive security arsenal for your home. Special package, handpicked just for you. It's got entry sensors, motion sensors, glass break sensors, everything you need to stop criminals from ever touching your home. These are the guys we trust. And right now, Simply Safe is giving you an absolutely incredible offer. You can get $200 off this handpicked security package. Complete protection for your home. Simply Safe is already the best value in home security. There's no contracts. You don't have to sign up for a long period of time. There's no big commitments. And right now, I mean, right now, you can get $200 off this security package. So take advantage of this by going to SimplySafeBeck.com. That's SimplySafeBeck.com. Possibly the best home security deal you'll ever see. SimplySafeBeck.com to save $200 on Simply Safe's home security package. SimplySafeBeck.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Yeah, what happened to all of the cries? As you said a few minutes ago, Trump is a president. And that's what the media used to continually remind the right about Barack Obama.
He won.
Hey, he's the president. He won. You've got to have respect for the president. You can't be criticizing him like this. And we actually, you know, I don't think it was really personal. It was about his policies.
Yeah.
It was about the fact that we didn't want socialism, and he had socialist tendencies.
Huh.
I mean, huh. He said he likes redistribution of wealth, which is a Marxist principle. He instituted Obamacare, which took control of the American healthcare system, insurance system. So, there were obvious criticisms to make there. And if you tried to make them during the Obama years, you were a racist. They didn't even pay attention to what it was you were saying. They didn't care about the substance. Right.
But as the Pew Research Center found, 6 in 10 stories on Trump's early days in office, negative assessment. That's okay. 3 times more than the early coverage of Obama, twice that of Bush and Clinton.
So it's even worse than Bush.
Yeah.
And it's far worse than Obama. So, but they have no awareness. There's no self-awareness there at all. They think they're fine. In fact, they think they've done the best coverage, according to Bernstein, in 50 to 60 years. You can't be serious. 888-727-BECK. Jody in Florida. Hi, you're on the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Jeffy.
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy
Thanks
New
for
Year.
Taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to the news, drive-by medias, and it blew me away. Jeffy was right. They don't know that Trump has won. All
yeah.
weekend long, it was President Obama did this. President Obama was seen here. But everything else was Trump, Trump, Trump had people down at his White House, Trump. And they don't even realize, and they don't even give him that honor of being president. And that's frustrating.
It is very frustrating.
Yes, it
thanks
is.
For the call. And it is. You're right. It's a little slam every single time it they sure report is. On him. Not to apply the word president before. And, you know, you can understand it every once in a while, or you're not always paying attention to that. But they almost never call him President Trump.
Right.
It's, you know, it's with complete disrespect.
And they was not my president. Well, you know, guess what? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. American citizen. Yeah, he is. So you can say that all you want, but he is.
And it's been interesting to watch Barack Obama during this time period, because the tradition is that an ex-president doesn't bash the policies of the current president, of the sitting president. Now, George W. Bush, as we all know, stayed out of the fray. He stayed out of it, despite the fact that they blamed him for every ill in our country.
Nothing but hammer him.
Almost
every turn.
Almost the entire 8 years. It wasn't just the first term. Even in the second term, they're still blaming everything that went wrong on Bush.
They're still trying now.
And he sat silently on the sidelines. And it's interesting because Obama, former President Obama, is out there now criticizing Trump. And
you know, just as a side note, you never hear them say former President Obama.
No,
either.
It's President Obama.
I mean, if you're lucky to hear mm-hmm. President Trump, but you never hear former President Obama. I think I'm going to look it up right now again, but it seemed to me I was looking at his Twitter account, and his Twitter account still has him, you know, it says, you know, president. It doesn't say
it's
former
amazing.
President.
It's amazing.
It most certainly.
Now,
is.
Obama said when he left office, he was going to try to stay out of Donald Trump's hair unless it was really, really important. Well, he's found virtually every issue to be really, really important. And he's jumped in to talk about, of course, the fight of Obamacare and many other issues. And Obama said, reality continues to discredit the false claim that this law, Obamacare, is in a death spiral. Nothing could be more untrue than that statement from Obama. It is in a death spiral, and it needs to be repealed. He says, likewise, this law is no job killer. So he's been speaking about Trump. Sometimes he doesn't call him by name, but you know who he's talking about. And George W. Bush didn't do any of that. One of Obama's spokespeople said, President Obama feels it's important to provide the same respect to the current. So they even admit that he got that respect. He feels it's important to provide the same respect to the current administration that was provided to him by the Bush administration. President Bush and his team gave President Obama and his team the space to do our jobs and did not come forward and comment on every decision that we made. And surely they disagreed with a lot of what we were doing.
Because you were bludgeoning them with bats every time you could.
Yes.
No matter what. We're just going to pummel you.
And every issue was the opposite of where Bush stood on it. Nearly every issue.
And not a word from W, which was really frustrating at the time.
It really kind of was.
It is kind of frustrating still today, as a matter of fact.
Really kind of was. So Obama now says, folks don't feel real good right now about what they see. So he's talking about Trump without actually
Absolutely.
Naming him. Maybe they don't feel as if our public life reflects our best. Our democracy is at stake. When is this guy going to understand we are not a democracy?
Pretty sure you've told him that before.
I'm pretty sure.
Pretty sure.
And it is important to make that correction because...
Nobody does.
Nobody does.
Nobody does.
Nobody
Man,
does.
That is a huge thing. And you hear it all
the time. And as brilliant as Barack Obama is supposed to be, he's never understood that we're a republic, not a democracy. 888-727-BECK. Your comments as we get the new year started here on the Glenn Beck Program with Pat Gray and Jeffy.
Glenn Beck. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program
with Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn this week. 888-727-BECK. In fact, because Glenn is out this week, this building is about 150,000 square feet of wasteland. There's no one here. It's just, I mean, there's not even camera people. There's not makeup people. There's nobody.
You mean there's people filling in for Glenn when he's off?
What? Really?
What?
And so because Glenn's not here and most people are still on vacation, the building is about 14 below zero.
It feels tremendous.
Oh,
in
my
here.
Gosh. I have lost all feeling in my hands.
It feels
I've got
so
frostbite
good
in
here.
My toes.
I've got this new little pansy heater down here if you want.
Frigid in here. Because it actually got cold. I mean, legitimately cold in Dallas.
Yes, it did.
This doesn't happen very often, but like the other night, it got down, I think, to about 14 or 15 degrees.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was ice and, you know, kind of a kind of snow.
Yeah.
Not really.
It's sort
kind
of a winter mix. Yeah. No accumulation, obviously. But and then the last 2 days didn't get out of the 20s during the day. That hardly ever happens here. So that cold front, that polar vortex that has invaded the country actually hit us fairly hard.
And people were freaking out on New Year's Eve. I mean, I was out, you know, I was out early and there were still ice patches on the road New Year's Eve day and people were starting
especially
to freak out where they were going to go. And
yeah.
I was like, you know, I'm going to pick up what I need and I'm back home.
Yeah, definitely.
You people go drive yourselves into the railings. That's fine with me.
Yeah, in my house, New Year's Eve is really not a thing.
Oh, man, we party.
Not a thing.
Oh, we party.
Yeah. We eat. Which is a problem. Just eat nonstop and maybe watch a movie or two.
Yeah, for New Year's or just the entire holiday?
Well, the whole holiday.
I mean, most people would think that the entire holiday is like, you know, where you would, I don't know, binge shows on whatever you're watching, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, and you would just eat and, you know, nap and hang out and maybe, you know, maybe look outside once in a while.
A lot of people
not
do.
Me, though.
No,
you're the holidays.
You're a gym rat.
You could not keep me out of the gym.
Just work out the whole time. Yeah, you got to stay in your
The family was like, Dad,
shape.
Are you going to be home at all over the holiday? No, I got to be at the gym. I got to work out. And you don't get this by going
to
the gym every day.
That's right. Night. No. Did you get out to Star Wars?
You know what? No. I didn't go out of my way. I should have. I felt bad because I told my youngest son that we'd go because he's a fan. I said, all right, I'll just go see your stupid Star Wars with you. Because I,
and
you know, I'm,
you didn't.
No, and then last night I was like, oh, we never got to see Star Wars. I know. I didn't want to be a pain and keep bugging you about it.
Oh, that was nice of him.
Oh, was it? Because he's a pain about everything else. He was a pain about everything else. You did it, you did it, you did it, but not Star Wars. So, I mean, you saw it, right?
I did. I actually liked this one.
Yeah, a lot of people we ran into over the holidays.
My family mostly did not.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, most everybody in my family was like, that was terrible.
Wow.
But I came out of it, and I loved it.
Most of the Star Wars people that we ran into really liked it.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I will
I know
say
you're
this.
A Star Wars guy, though.
Yeah,
so that's
I
mean,
love
yeah.
Star Wars. Always have. This one actually is interesting because... If you look at Rotten Tomatoes, it got huge, great reviews from critics. 90% of critics gave it thumbs up, whereas the audience is only about, 50, I think it was 52 or 54%, which is really low, especially for Star Wars. And it's the opposite of what a Star Wars movie usually is.
Well, what's good about the Star Wars movie, though, is it hasn't made any money at all.
$517 million domestically. It's over $1 billion worldwide.
Yeah. That's unbelievable.
It was number one again over the weekend. And I think for the 4 days, it brought in $68 million. That, which is
starting to slow down a little.
Pretty good in week three, but it's on a slower pace than The Force Awakens by quite a bit. At this point, The Force Awakens was at 750 million. This one's at 517 or 530,
Whoa, wow.
something like that. Yeah, so it's lagging behind, but
Whoa,
still,
no kidding.
I mean, it's still huge.
But that's lagging behind probably because more people feel like your family.
I think so.
They're not going
yeah.
back again.
And I, you know, there's some problems with it, and I won't explain what my problem is with it in case you haven't seen it, because it would give away some things, and I'm sure you wouldn't appreciate that. So, but
no, I don't care. Go ahead.
I liked it the best since Return of the Jedi.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought it was the best Star Wars since 19, whatever, 83.
Yeah, that was a long time.
That came out. Yeah.
Yeah, there's been a number of them, right?
I mean, yeah.
Oof, wow.
So that was number one. Jumanji was number two, the reboot with The Rock.
That guy cannot do wrong, man.
He really can't. Pitch Perfect was number three. Greatest Showman, and then Ferdinand, which is
I have to see Showman too. I really want to see that.
Really?
Yeah, I was told that was really
good. About Barnum?
Yeah.
Yeah, P.T. Barnum. Also, an incredible bowl season culminated last night with the... It actually didn't culminate. It's almost over.
Almost over.
And isn't it amazing that football is almost over now?
I know.
The college... We have one collegiate football game left, the national championship between Georgia and Alabama, of course. And we got the NFL playoffs, and that's it. Then we're done. It's gone by so fast.
Boy, no kidding. I ran into a lot. You know, I realize that time ticks on at the same pace over and over, and it doesn't, nothing really, you know, it isn't true, but it feels like 2017 flew by.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, it does not feel, it's 2018 already?
Yeah, it's incredible.
I mean, it's incredible. Been amazing.
Really.
And I really am amazed that football season is over. Whew, man, that was... I'm missing that a little bit already. Even with the bowl games, I was still missing a little bit of,
I know,
of college football season. I like that a lot.
Interesting that Oklahoma and Georgia, that phenomenal game yesterday.
Tremendous game. So much fun to watch.
If you didn't see it or haven't heard about it, or you're in Afghanistan for the weekend, Georgia finally won it 54-48
yeah.
in double overtime.
Yeah.
And I was, of course, Georgia won. I was rooting for Oklahoma, and that's just the way the season's gone this year.
You'd have made some money betting with you this year. If whatever you were rooting for, you should have
go
bet
the other way.
The opposite.
Go the other way. Exactly right. Exactly. But I've got kind of a man crush on Baker Mayfield. I think the kid he's tremendous. I can't believe they're talking. He might be the third or fourth or fifth quarterback taken in the draft. How do you pass him up?
He's a little agonizing.
Why is he agonizing?
Because he is. He just is.
Exuberant.
That exuberance, though. That exuberance kind of.
I like the exuberance. I think, you know, if he doesn't turn out to be like Johnny Manziel, I think he's got a big future in the NFL.
As sure as possible. I mean, it's disappointing. He came back, right? He came back
to win
the championship.
The championship. And he got so close.
No defense, though, man. Oof, yeah. No defense. You're not winning a championship.
It's true. The other thing that was fascinating was Central Florida, who, you know, is one of the forgotten schools from
UCF,
our forgotten
the
league.
Knights. Yeah.
They were 12-0 and didn't get into the playoff, obviously, but they beat the team that beat both of the teams in the national championship game.
Think of that.
Proving to me they should have been in the
Absolutely.
Playoffs.
Absolutely.
Should have 13-0 season. Winning over Auburn in their final game, in whatever bowl game that was. What was it's not
I don't remember.
Peach Bowl, yeah, in the Peach Bowl, and then finishing unbeaten all season.
Good for them.
Wow, there's got to be something done. You got to
expand
but
the
playoffs.
With the point system, well,
got to expand the playoffs to eight. Either
okay, I'm
six
okay
or
with
eight.
That. I'm personally okay with that. Whatever. But yeah. You know, really, with the point system, they did have an issue with. You know, a couple of, you know, a lot of the games that were played that against teams that weren't that good.
Yeah, obviously the schedule is going to hurt them.
But they beat everybody you put in front of them. I know. No one could beat them.
Just like BYU in 1984, they beat everybody you put in front of them. And, I mean, what more can you do? What more can you do?
I'm BYU in 1984, because we were talking about the 17-18 bowl season.
Yeah,
is what
I know.
We were talking about.
I know, but I was just making a comparison, is all.
I know, but what about, so, did they win this
bowl?
Didn't,
they didn't have a season this year. They didn't play.
Oh, they didn't play?
Yeah, they took the year off.
Oh, okay.
Essentially, that is what happened.
I mean, they didn't lose the bowl game.
No, they did not lose their bowl game. I guarantee you that. All right. 888-727 Beck, Lori in Washington. Welcome to the Glenn Beck program with Pat and Jeffy.
Hi, good morning. Happy New Year.
You too.
I need to remind you guys that W has not been silent the entire time during his retirement. Do you remember last fall when Hillary was out on her god-awful book tour and then they asked H.W. Bush whether or not he voted for Trump, and he went off and bashed Trump and said, well, no, I didn't vote for him. And then they got to W, and W hemmed and hawed, and he didn't answer whether or not he voted for Trump. Then he was interviewed, and he gave these sort of wimpy answers about some half-hearted support for Trump. And just it sounded like sore loser, you know, our boy didn't win, so of course we're not going to support Trump, which is just petty. So
yeah, you're right. Thanks for the call. I had forgotten that. And it's interesting that when he does speak out, when the family spoke out, it was against Trump.
Correct.
Rather than Obama.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little agonizing, a little irritating. Barbie in Maine, you're on with Pat and Jeffy.
Good morning.
Hi.
And Happy New Year.
You too.
I am calling in regards to President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he is doing the best job that he can after the mess that Obama has made. And people got to give him respect. Just as much as they gave Obama respect, people that didn't like him as well. So,
yeah, they're not.
All in all, he's doing a fantastic job.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Barbie. And I will say, though, I agree. I mean, I don't know if I call the job fantastic. I would say he's doing much better than I thought he was going to do.
Well, up against what he's been up against, no question.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he gets stonewalled and blocked at every turn, despite no matter what the guy does. You know, whatever he has for dinner and lunch is a hated thing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's done a great job, comparatively speaking, to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, has he been tremendous?
Yeah. I mean, I will say he's genuinely surprised me. I thought it was going to be a lot worse than this. And he's done pretty well.
Yes, he has.
And he did something. I'm trying to think, what was the latest thing? It was right when we went on vacation a couple of weeks ago.
Well, that was Jerusalem, right?
Yeah, it was right after Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was great, and then he did something else that surprised me. And I can't think of what it is, but I will. 888-727-BECK. Lois in Ohio, you're on with Pat and Jeffy.
Hi. I'm going to try to change the subject matter here on health care. My idea is, why can't you get a couple Republicans, a couple of Democrats, get some CEOs from insurance companies along with hospital administrators and some doctors that actually work with health care, set them together, sequester them in a room for a week or two, whatever you need to do, until they come up with a plan. And that way you get people that actually work with the system to have some input on it, and maybe we can come up with a better plan. Would that work?
Yes, so they'll never do it. it makes too much sense. Lois.
Well, that's what I think. Common sense and government does not work together.
Right. They have no relationship whatsoever. Appreciate the call. 888-727-BECK.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
So, tax cuts passed. House and Senate. Got that done. Also, just before Christmas, the Trump administration, through Nikki Haley, who's doing a tremendous job as UN ambassador,
standing tall, man.
They cut the amount that the United States gives to the UN by $285 million. Now, that's a drop in the bucket compared to what we pay to keep that hideous organization in operation.
That's a lot of money from slush funds, though.
But that's pretty darn good.
You aren't lying, it is.
$285 million, that's a good start. We should just kick them off the entire continent. But barring that, this is a great move.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that they're not letting the UN push us around. The UN got together and it's like 130 countries condemned us for stating that Jerusalem was the capital of Israel. Are you kidding me? Unbelievable. And so Nikki Haley has said, we will not forget this. We're going to take names here. And in the future, you're going to be sorry.
Yeah.
Essentially, she didn't say it exactly that way. But in the future, you're going to be sorry. And it was just a few days later, they cut the budget.
And on top of that, in her speech about that, after that, she talked about when those countries come calling for more help and cash.
Oh, sorry.
We'll remember.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. Who's done that?
No one.
Not even Bush.
No one. Yeah. Oh, no. This was, I mean.
Not even Reagan, I don't think. Actually took action that was meaningful against the UN, even though they have never been a friend to the United States.
Ever. I mean, all they do is take our money.
Yes. Yes.
They need our money.
Yeah.
They need our money.
And we pump billions into that organization just to be condemned all the time.
I don't get it.
It's despicable.
I really don't. I don't understand it.
And so for this administration to take a different line on that, I think it's fantastic. I love to see it, and I hope it continues. Let's go to Tim in Ohio. Tim, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Well, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, I just wanted to say, Bill O'Reilly said one of his best movies was The Godfather. And The Godfather, a Turk guy came, wanted to sell the white powder.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, "Why do you come to me?" He said, "Well, you got the politicians in your pocket."
Right.
Well, he turning down everything.
Yes, he did.
I personally feel that Bill Clinton has the politicians in his
pocket.
Pocket.
Yeah, possibly.
Glenn Beck. Love. Mm-hmm. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program, 888-727-BECK. You can also catch me, Pat Gray, on Pat Gray Unleashed, which immediately follows this show on the Blaze Radio and Television Network. Make sure you join us then. North Korea seems to be softening a little bit. Kim Jong-un may be realizing that there's a new sheriff in town. I think Trump's had something to do with this as well.
He's trying to save face a little, I think. It sure feels that way.
It really does. It's to the point where not only is his rhetoric softening, but his wardrobe is softening.
Yeah.
He's changed like the style of his Mao outfits to tone it down a little bit and look less menacing.
I don't know. That latest picture, though, that's a good haircut.
Oh, the guy's always been impeccable in his
love that haircut,
in his hair. Man. Oh, yeah.
That is tremendous.
Looks like it was cut by a blind person. But I think that's a good look. It's a really good look. It's gotten to the point where North Korea has wished the Winter Olympics games in South Korea, they wish them well. Meaning, okay, you're not in trouble there. I mean, we're not going to attack you during the Olympics. They basically came out and said that. They said that the sporting event reaches beyond all political division. Now, I've never heard that kind of talk come out of North Korea.
No kidding.
Maybe it's happened, and I just wasn't aware of it, but I've never noticed it, if it has. The Winter Olympic Games that will soon be held in the South will be a good opportunity to display the status of the Korean nation, and we sincerely wish that the event will be held with good results. That was according to Kim Jong-un. In a separate message, IOC President Thomas Bach said he was confident the games will be held without incident. And it certainly seems that way. So, and then there was some conciliatory language. At least that's the way I took it. And maybe he didn't mean it this way. After all the rhetoric that he has spewed about warmongering in the United States,
right.
Now they're saying the United States will never start the war. Now, I don't know if he meant by that we don't have the giblets to do that.
Yeah, I kind of got that a little bit. Like, you
but
know.
Still, well, if that's what you believe, then you've got no reason to call us warmongers, right? Then you've got no reason to say that we're on the verge of attacking you. If that's what you believe, then shut up.
Right. Well, this is his way to not be able to shut up, right? Because he can't shut up for his people. Right, he's got to show off to
apparently,
his people, right?
Yeah.
So his way is saying, "Hey, I know you guys aren't going to start anything. I've got the little button here on my desk, and you know we can reach all the United States anytime we want to. But you know we're ready to fire back if you start it."
Yeah. And I,
you know,
It's interesting because he's got the little button on his desk. You know what? So does Donald Trump. And his button's a little bit bigger.
This is a tad.
Yeah.
And this is a tad bit bigger.
A lot more firepower there. And I think they're starting to realize that, and maybe that is behind all of this talk.
I mean, good, right?
And that's great.
Maybe we found a way to, you know, back out of it and let him save a little bit of face, even though I don't
fine.
Really, you know, okay, fine.
Yeah, let him have
if
that.
If it saves lives, great.
Exactly right. And if it helps the Olympic Games get pulled off without incident, then so
that's
be it.
Be,
that'd be really good.
No kidding. It's so interesting. I guess is the word that, you know, that it's in South Korea this year.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
As everything got, you know, fired up again.
I know.
All the rhetoric back and forth.
They were right in the middle of it with the Olympics.
Yeah. Also, some interesting goings on at MSNBC and the Chris Matthews show. Have you heard about the allegations against him that he's abusive? He's got a really
Chris Matthews is
Chris
abusive?
Matthews. Yeah.
No.
Apparently very abusive. And says that he runs at times openly derisive and brazenly sexist news operation that has led at least some of his staffers to describe themselves as victims of battered wives syndrome. At least three of the show's guests and two former producers have spoken out to the Daily Caller. Two former NBC producers independently alleged Matthews would rate the looks of his female guests on a scale and said Matthews was so abusive that the staff joked about being battered women. The interviews paint Matthews as a tyrant, likely to fly off the handle. Does that surprise you in the least?
No.
Not at all. Does not surprise me at all. Eager to objectify women and made inappropriate sexual comments appear to be a matter of course. Both former NBC producers requested anonymity out of concern for their future careers. Now, if you're a former producer, if you're not producing for Chris, how can he affect you at this point? I don't understand that.
I don't either.
Chris Matthews is not that powerful a news person that he could reach out and and stop your career from afar. Stop it. One of them is actively seeking a job in the media, and the other still works closely with MSNBC. One expressed fears about being labeled a troublemaker and cited the string of former Fox News women who have all but disappeared from TV. Sadly, I know other women who won't even be an anonymous source regarding Chris Matthews because they're that concerned about the door closing on career opportunities. The producers, whose combined time at the network nearly spans the entire existence of Hardball, said Matthews frequently objectified female guests and staffers, inappropriately commented on their appearance and clothing. He would allegedly use pet names like Cutie and Sweetie Pie to refer to female guests and was constantly making uncouth and boorish remarks about women. He would eye down a woman who walked on our set or comment on their features or what they were wearing. According to one of them.
I mean, there's no way you don't believe this. There's no way you don't believe this.
No, I absolutely
believe it.
I believe it 100%.
No way. There's no way this is not true.
I think you're right.
There's no way it's not true.
Yeah,
absolutely.
One host on a CNBC show was allegedly on the receiving end of many of his comments, tried to avoid being around him. She didn't want to be in the same room as him. She wouldn't want to get her makeup done if he was in there, too. Wow. I wonder, will this affect his situation at MSNBC? Know. It'll be interesting to see.
In today's world, it very well should.
Everybody else who's even been accused is gone.
You'd have a nice day.
Now, they've been talking about this with Chris Matthews for three or four weeks now, and he's still unscathed. Matthews has also creepily told then-CNBC reporter Aaron Burnett to get closer to the camera and asserted that vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin is electric, but could be hotter.
See, now some of this stuff. Now, I... mm-hmm. No, never mind. Never mind. Never mind. He's a bad guy, first of all. There's no question.
Yes.
But there's no accusation of any kind of assault.
No,
or anything like
I
that. He's
seen
just a bad guy.
He's actually touched anybody.
Yeah. He's just a
yeah,
just
he's a d-bag.
Yeah.
Yeah. But one former producer said, I would describe it as verbal abuse. The screaming is beyond the screaming you've ever heard. You just feel so under attack. He did it so openly. It's not just sexual harassment. What are you supposed to do when somebody is verbally abusing you and attacking you this way? Well, you leave.
Yeah, you get another job.
Yeah. I mean, there's no reason to be miserable like that. There are other jobs. You leave.
I mean, I get that, you know, you want to work in television or you want to work in television news or you want to work in radio. I mean, I'm there with you. I got it. But you can't.
And you shouldn't have to put up with this. No. But there are jerky people in every walk of life.
And we've all dealt with them. Yeah, we've all dealt with them in our jobs. And I don't know that, and I don't know that, you know, coming out now and saying, boy, that guy I worked for in 1984 was such a dirtbag. Okay. I mean, what'd you do then?
Nothing.
Nothing. You waited for him to walk back down the hallway and turn the corner so you could go, man, that guy's such a jerk.
And that's why the behavior continued all that time.
I know.
Right?
I know.
888-727-BECK. Bill in California. Hi, you're on with Pat Gray and Jeffy.
Good morning. I was listening to the opening part about President Trump and Obama, et cetera, et cetera. And my view, is that this President Trump has come along at the exact right time. He's one of the few people in that office who has actually come out and defended the Americans and actually expressed a love for America. And this is like the first time, the first president in my lifetime since Reagan. Reagan made us all love America and feel good about it. Trump is coming in like to the rescue after 8 years of criminal regime of Obama's and the do-nothing, or well, not completely, but the silence of George Bush the 43rd, who was complicit because of his silence. I mean, it's like you have a cop sitting there, crimes are being committed, and he says and does nothing.
Yeah.
This is what ticks people off. It's like when you go to a movie and you see the hero finally, finally stand up to the bad guy and beat the crap out of him or whatever kind of a thing. That people are tired of getting beat up. And, you know, Trump is not Mr. Nice Guy. He's not the declarative guy. I mean, he has been in very solemn situations when it's called for. But when the media and these countries, I mean, he slapped the UN. I mean, it's not a big slap, but they took money away from him.
Yeah.
And Kim Jong-un or whatever that crazy kid with a bad haircut is doing is seeing this. And he's going, well, this guy isn't just a, you know, speaks, you know, loudly and do nothing. He is actually doing both. And that's one thing that I think people are latching on to today, us just regular American people out here with no power except to maybe voice our opinion here or there or vote, which I do both of as much as possible, then somebody is actually listening. Somebody's actually doing something. And I'm tired of this elitist bunch of Republicans and elitist bunch of Democrats who are only there in Washington to protect the little pile of goodies that they have accumulated over the years, being these people in the government that you know, they abuse the hell out of their power. That's what Obama did. He's a multimillionaire now. I think just about every ex-president is a multimillionaire, and I'm, for the life of me, I can't understand why we're still feeding them money for Secret Service. They could pay for their own. Glenn pays for his own.
Yes,
why
he does.
Can't they? Yeah. You know?
Yep.
It's just nuts. There's no independence here from these people, and they're just sucking off the people of the United States of America who are out there trying to make a living for their families, where these guys are just like, they haven't a care in the world except to come in like Obama does and lambast our current president, who's actually a real American president standing up for the real American people instead of all these foreign people. I mean, what about American dreamers? We keep hearing this stuff about all these poor dreamers. How about the American dreamers? We got plenty of children and people, I mean real children, not 20-some-year-olds, that they are, you know, that's a whole DACA thing. We have real Americans, real people here that have earned their way, that have, you know, stood up and gone through, like, you know, the immigrants. My daughter married an immigrant Canadian. They went through hell trying to get through this in this country. 10 years.
Yep.
All this stuff, and now they're handing it out. Brown and the Democrats in California, just just a criminal state. We're not going to observe laws. I mean, look at that guy that just murdered that poor woman in San Francisco, totally getting off.
Yeah. Yep.
It's just, this is the kind of stuff that just ticks us off.
Yep.
And President Trump is actually turning and doing things. He's cutting regulations. He's cutting payments to the UN. I'd like to see him wipe them out.
I understand
he fired over 500 people from the VA.
Yeah.
You know, that are just, I mean, our troops are getting screwed by these people. And he's actually doing something.
Yep. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Bill. I mean, that was a mouthful.
That sure was.
But that's exactly how Donald Trump was elected president of the United States.
I was thinking
exactly
the
how
same
and why
thing.
He was elected.
Yes.
Because we're just fed up. And we just got the crap beat out of us for 8 years. And we were sick and tired of it. And
yes.
Somebody was going to stand up and say, okay, we've had enough of this.
Enough is enough.
And if he said it in a rude way, so be it. Good, in fact. For most of the American people. Good. I don't want you to say it nicely.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray. And Jeffy for Glenn this week. Then you can also tune in to Pat Gray Unleashed immediately following this on the Blaze Radio and TV Network. 888-727 Beck. Been talking about some of the accomplishments of Donald Trump. Frankly, I will admit I've been fairly pleasantly surprised during this administration. And Bill kind of summed up, I think.
He sure did.
A lot of what the American people feel and felt when they voted for him. They're just sick and tired of getting hammered by the left. They're sick and tired of the media. They want somebody who will call out the media, and they want somebody who will call out the left, and that's Donald Trump.
And they want someone who at least appears to stand up to other countries around the world and at least appear to say that the United States is number one. He said,
absolutely.
He goes, we're number one, we're the United States, and it's time to start.
It's going
to
be America
thinking
first.
About us first.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, his first tweet of 2018. This morning, the United States has foolishly given Pakistan more than $33 billion in aid over the last 15 years. They have given us nothing but lies and deceit, thinking of our leaders as fools. They give safe haven to the terrorists we hunt in Afghanistan with little help. No more. I mean,
it's great.
I know.
Didn't he have a statement about Iran, too?
I know. Yes, he did. Tweet number two of 2018.
Okay.
Iran is failing at every level despite the terrible deal made with them by the Obama administration. The great Iranian people have been repressed for many years. They are hungry for food and for freedom. Along with human rights, the wealth of Iran is being looted. Time for change, in all caps. I mean, hello.
Yep. Again, he speaks his mind, and he's
well,
got people
he tweets
from,
his mind.
From yes, yeah, exactly. and he's got people in the Obama administration saying, "Shh, you should be silent on Iran," like we were back in 2009 when we did nothing and didn't encourage the overthrow of that horrifically oppressive government. They sat back. They said nothing. They did nothing. Why? Because they wanted to get this Iranian nuclear treaty done. That's why. They wanted to get that crappy treaty done with Iran, and so they said nothing, and they did nothing. When they could have encouraged it.
Yes, they could have.
And maybe it could have brought about freedom in Iran. And so Trump's not going to be silent on this.
Good.
And they things are being fired up in Iran right now. There's massive protests every day. And it's unfortunately, there have been 12 people or so that have been killed.
And I would venture to say that number
is probably much higher than that.
Yeah. I mean, it's ugly.
Because it is oppressive, and they're calling these protests illegal, and they've paid people to go out and counter protest, and then they clash with the protesters. So it's going to be ugly. It's going to get worse before it gets better. But you've got an American president now who is encouraging people to seek freedom.
At least we're able to, if they can hear it anyway, they know that, we will, if you want the change, we're here for you. We're not just silent.
Yeah.
We're not just going
right.
to let the regime on top of you pummel you forever.
What could have happened in 2009 had Obama taken that tactic? We might have a friendly regime in Iran. Who knows?
Think of that.
I mean, you know, it's not necessarily the most likely scenario, but it's certainly possible. And you can't get any more antagonistic against us than this current one.
Boy, no kidding.
888-727-BECK. Much more coming up on Glenn Beck with Pat Gray and Jeffy.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn this week. 888-727 Beck. Hard to believe that football season is almost over. Jeez, I hate that.
I do.
January 2nd is the worst day of the year. Holidays completely over. You got nothing to look forward to. You start to realize it's sinking in that football's coming to a screeching halt. It's cold. It's just a depressing day.
You know what? You're right.
It's just a crappy day.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody. But some great bowl games to finish things up. Yesterday's Rose Bowl was fantastic. A double overtime Rose Bowl.
As a fan, it's exciting to watch. As a defensive coordinator coach.
Wow, that was a bad game for them. Ooh. There was no defense yesterday. None.
No. This is rough. And for a while, I thought that actually Oklahoma did have a little defense, at least for the you know, the first half. Anyway, that game, it felt like Oklahoma had that game in hand.
Yeah, they were up by 17 at one point.
And then, boy, the last play of the first half, Georgia kicked a field goal, and it was just a field goal. Mm-hmm. But it made the shift of that game like Georgia still got a shot at this.
Changed everything.
It sure did.
Yeah. Let's go to Don in Maryland. Don, you're on the Glenn Beck Program, Pat Gray and Jeffy. Hi.
Yes, you know, I think they ought to take the crappiest two teams in the NCAA and call it the Toilet Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah, why not? I mean,
I don't have a problem with that.
We almost have that now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, how many bowl games were there this year? 41?
Something like that. Yeah,
meaning
something like that.
82 teams got a bowl.
I love it. Let them have a bowl. Who cares?
It's too many.
Oh, stop it. It's
too many. Thanks, Don. Jared in Oklahoma, welcome to the Blaze. The Glenn
Beck
Program.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well.
How you doing? Long time listener, first time getting through to talk to you guys. I'm very excited. You guys, earlier you referenced 1984 being a fantastic winning team.
Mm-hmm. Well, someone did. Don't say we.
Yeah, yeah. Pat, that guy, freaking mm-hmm. Pat. But if you go all the way back to 1954, 55, and 56, the Sooners were undefeated.
Yes, right. They were.
Well, that was just on the tip of my tongue, too. I was just about ready to mention that earlier.
I think it was
the break.
47 in a row, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah. And then the next two seasons, they went 10-1 also.
Wow, so, did they really?
Yes, sir. They were fantastic back in the day.
Yeah. Good times.
I wish they would turn that up now and maybe get rid of Mike Stoops and get back to it, but...
get somebody who can get the kids to play a little defense. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
I mean, so far Link's done great this year for as a head coach, but
yeah.
Can I talk to you guys about Obama and Trump for a second?
Sure. Mhm.
Fantastic. I'm a 8-year Army combat veteran.
Thanks for your service.
Yeah, no problem. I enlisted under W. Bush. I spent 1 year under him, and I didn't figure there would be a big regime change, but I should have seen that coming. So I spent 7 years under Obama.
Wow.
And the poor leadership that he facilitated in the armed services is one of the reasons why you see a lot of people getting out instead of making careers out of it. Had there been positive leadership in mm-hmm. the military at the time, I probably would have stuck it out, done my 20 and been looking at retirement here soon, but
wow.
That wasn't in the cards.
Yeah, and I think Trump has turned that around. At least I feel that way,
yeah.
And I think the military feels that way.
Definitely. Yeah. He he's taking the reins off. You know, the rules of engagement are back the way they ought to be. If someone shoots at you, you're allowed to shoot back at him.
But do you think are there still plenty of people still involved in the military now, though, that were there under the Obama administration? So, I mean, Trump is still fighting that as well. Right? I mean, it's been pretty difficult for him to work his way through that.
Although you're right, they have changed the rules of engagement. And look what's happened to ISIS since that happened. You can't deny the victories we've had against ISIS since Trump took over.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's changed everything.
I was in a convoy going from Mosul to Key West in 2009, and we had a RPG shot at us, went between two fuel trucks, and we were not allowed to return fire
because
they were no longer a combatant.
Oh, that is unbelievable. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that costs lives.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's inexcusable. Thanks for the call, Jared. And again, thanks for your service.
That was great.
Appreciate it. Must take you back a ways to your service on the island of Spice.
I was trying not to think about
right.
it.
Right.
When he was talking about the battle, and I was trying, I tried to get that out of my head, because it was so.
Yeah, I apologize for bringing it up. Because I know how traumatic that can be.
Oh, man, we stormed that island, though, Pat. Yeah.
Oh, I know. I know. That seems to be where your sentence ends every time. When we stormed the island, and then kind of left unsaid.
That's kind of like tough for me to think about, Pat.
Mark in Florida. Hi, you're on the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, Pat Gray and Jeffy. I got to tell you, I had a question. I wanted your opinion on something about Trump, but this morning, all you've been doing is depressing me that football season is on September.
Sorry. I apologize.
Please stop. No, I want to say to you, I couldn't agree more with your Trump comments. Right now, America doesn't need a diplomatic president. It America needs more of a brawler president. But my real question is, Trump's 71. And be honest with you, you've seen those pictures of before and after when it's already more famous than Abraham Lincoln.
It's already taken hold, Trump? Mark.
Do you think Trump's going to be able to survive 8 years?
I don't know. It's funny that you bring that up, though, because I was looking at a picture this morning with our producer, Keith, and I was like, look at that. I mean, it's a big difference, and it's only been a year.
It does take a toll. It really does. I'm not sure he's going to want to.
I know. He might be able to say, well, I got enough.
Yeah.
Melania.
That's what I was thinking. But do you think if Trump leaves, I mean, Pence isn't going to hold the baton. I don't imagine him being the type of president that Trump is. To flip the tables and try to drain the swamp.
No, he'd be a more traditional type of president.
Okay.
A little more conservative, actually. But although.
And maybe again, after 4 years of Trump, that's what we'll need.
Maybe. Maybe. Okay. Appreciate the call. Thanks, Mark. According to Melania, who said she doesn't think he'll run for a second term. She said that this fall sometime. Yeah. And so I don't know. It may take a toll on him, and he may want to get back to his businesses. We'll see.
I mean, he can use that's definitely be a great excuse for him. He has that excuse of I've got businesses to run, and
it's true.
I love you,
he does.
And I've did my 4 years.
I did what I could.
I got back on track.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Take it.
Right.
And and that's great. No problem, because it has. I mean, I looked at a picture of him this morning, and it was shocking, really. It's only been a year, and it was. I mean, he still got the Trump hair. I was I was actually looking at the hairdo of how he combs it.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of shots every now and then that you get a really good look at how he combs it.
Mm-hmm.
And thinning out a little bit on top there, a little bit more than it has been down. I mean, he's got to get that coiffed just right.
Well, do you remember when Obama went into office in 2009? He had black hair, and maybe a year and a half.
It wasn't long at all.
It took a toll quickly. Yeah. You can really see it.
I mean, that job is not an easy job. It's difficult to understand how someone would want to do it. But I'm glad that someone does.
Yes. It would be probably a little difficult for the country if the presidency was
just
unoccupied.
We can't find anybody.
Yeah, we got a lot of bills on a desk, but nobody there to sign them. Chip in Alabama, you're on the Blaze. And the Glenn Beck
program. Hi, Mr. Gray.
Hey.
How are you this morning, sir?
Doing good, thanks.
I want to get straight to it. Several callers back, there was a gentleman that was talking about how Trump has people voted for him because they was tired of how Washington was not listening, and Trump does listen. But they're not fed up enough yet, in my opinion. I want your opinion, if you don't mind giving it to you and Mr. Jeffy. I don't know his last name, so I have to go with Mr. Jeffy.
Mm-hmm.
But I want y'all's opinion. If the American people were that fed up, then they would start voting senators and congressmen that's been there since Noah built the ark out of office and put new people in and let them see that that's not a lifetime job. If you don't do what the government, the American people want, you're our mouthpiece. You can be replaced just like somebody at a regular job. And that's what I wanted was your opinion, and I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thanks, Chip. Surprising somebody in Alabama didn't talk about the Tide. Crimson Tide, who won handily against Clemson last night.
He's probably
night.
An Auburn fan.
Might be. But my perception of term limits used to be, well, we've got elections. That's your term limit right there. If you don't want him around, vote him out of office. But we don't do that.
It doesn't seem like
so
we
that's
do.
Why I am now in favor of term limits. And I don't think anybody should be in office longer than 12 years.
And look,
so that's six terms for Congress people. And two terms for a senator. I and then you got to go.
Seems fair.
Yeah, that's what should happen. Because the election process is not working to that extent where we are getting rid of this of these people who've gotten so comfortable in their jobs. But we're comfortable voting for them because we know their name. And it's easier to just vote for the person whose name you know than it is to do the research on their opponent.
Right. And then you also have, I mean, we try, you know, when you say that, talk about that, one of the reasons that led to Donald Trump was the Tea Party movement and doing exactly that, right? Getting some of the new people in there and getting some new blood in there. And then we find out that the new blood is just like the old blood.
Yeah.
I mean, we got burned strong with that. So, I mean, that, and that, again, is part of what led to, we need a Donald Trump in office. We need somebody that can say, no, enough is enough.
That's right. Tahir in Texas, you're on the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, Pat. Happy New Year.
You too.
You brought the village idiot back with you.
Yes.
Who's that? I mean, I'm here. Well, who are you talking about?
Exactly.
So I have a different theory about Kim Jong-un softening his stance with South Korea. I think that he's just stalling for time. I think that's all just an act, and it's a ruse. It's easy for him to play. He knows that if he plays nice, that, you know, we'll let our guard down, hopefully, he thinks. Mm-hmm. And Trump will, you know, cut down his rhetoric a little bit, and that'll give him time to get his nuclear program up and running. And then before you know it, before we can even do anything about it, it'll be there. And we won't be able to do anything about it. And also one more thing.
That's a happy thought. California. Thank you. Thank you for the happy thought.
Oh, yeah. Bill from California, amen, brother. You nailed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he sure did.
Thanks, Tahir. That was about a four-minute soliloquy, monologue
yes,
from Bill.
Yes, it was.
He didn't take a breath, and he had a lot to say. Rich.
He got it out, though.
He did. Yes, he did. All right, 888-727-BECK.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Jeffy. For Glenn this week. 888-727. Beck. Rich in Oregon. Welcome.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
It's out here in the socialist, anti-American state of Oregon.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, it didn't used to be that way on the West Coast.
I know. It's been it's been real sad that we've changed so drastically in such a short period of time.
It really is.
My thing is, I was telling the guy on the, whatever you call him, the phone guy, I agree with that Bill guy. You know, there's so many people that are down on Trump. And the only reason they're down on him, I see, is he's a new guy and he's a businessman. And he doesn't take, why does it take 6 months to get something done? And he's done more in a few months than most presidents have done in anywhere from 4 to 8 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has. He's done a lot. And appreciate the call, Rich.
No offense, but you guys sometimes are a little down on him when you shouldn't be, because you know he's trying to do a good job. But other than that, Yeah. Thanks for letting me call.
You bet. I mean, we're trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. He was not, obviously, our first choice. Mine, nor Glenn's, nor Stu's, nor Jeffy's. He was well down that list. And it's because it's some of the things that everybody loves about him and that I now kind of appreciate in him are some of the things I didn't like. You don't want a president who tweets every thought that enters his mind. You don't want that. You don't want a president necessarily with some of the baggage that he came with. We couldn't ignore those things. And I, you know, he's not super conservative. He's not conservative at all. And I think he would even tell you that. He's Republican, but he's not a conservative. So, yes, we have and had issues with him. However, as I've stated numerous times, he's been a pleasant surprise to me so far. You know, there's things I don't like about what he's doing, but there's been much to like and more than I thought there would be. And, you know, we're just always trying to be, it's not our job to sing the praises of the president, whether Republican or Democrat. It's our job to speak our opinions on the news of the day and the policies that people have. And so we do.
This is exactly why my first choice was Jim Gilmore. That's exactly why Jim Gilmore.
Right.
But,
yeah,
you know, unfortunately, he dropped out.
But he did.
And
sadly.
So we have President Trump.
We lost him.
We did. Him. Lost him early, too.
Glenn Beck. Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray for Glenn, as well as Jeffy. 888-727-BECK. Be back to do Pat Gray Unleashed as well, immediately following this show on the Blaze Radio and TV Network. We've been talking a little bit about some of what happened over the Christmas and New Year's break, especially where it concerns bowl games, and also some of the things, you know, just to kind of wrap up President Donald Trump's first year, talking about some of the positives and certainly the media response to everything he does and even some things he doesn't do. Even if they can find a way to bash Donald Trump, they do it.
They sure do.
And if they can't find a way, they dig deeper until they finally find something.
And they still bash him. If they can't find a way, they bash him.
Yes.
Doesn't matter.
And all their rules, none of their rules apply to Donald Trump and his wife and family. If they can comment on Melania and the way she looks or the way she dresses or whatever, they'll even do that when that was completely out of bounds with Michelle Obama.
Oh, my gosh.
The only thing you could say about Michelle Obama was, wow, are her arms fantastic.
If they were
what dressed, arms?
If they were dressed up for a black tie event, any kind of event like that, then it was okay.
Oh, it was the greatest.
It was the best ever.
And if she was wearing a $25,000 gown, it was perfectly fine. Or a $50,000 gown.
But if they were coming, but if they were coming back from one of their vacations, which I know, you know, they didn't take very many away.
Except for every weekend,
it didn't matter. She was wearing tennis shoes and torn up jeans and a ripped T-shirt. You can't comment on that. They're coming back from vacation.
Exactly.
She's a mother.
So all bets are off now with Absolutely. Donald Trump and Melania Trump. 888-727-BECK. Also, we've got some new laws to share with you, because obviously we have listeners from shore to shore, sea to shining sea. And there's some things you might want to be aware of that are taking effect. Well, probably took effect yesterday.
If it's a law, I'm for it.
Oh, really?
If it's a law, I'm for it. I hope this is going to make me feel good, isn't it? Because I'm usually all for laws.
Yeah, I think you're going to love it.
We need more laws in America.
Well, when you only have like 35 million laws to begin with.
That's not enough.
That's way short of where it should be.
Yes.
So some of the legislatures across the this great nation of ours have decided that they're going to do something about that. Good. They have, and we'll tell you about some of them. Also, an interesting celebration, again, on CNN. They get rid of Kathy Griffin, who is just reprehensible and has been every single, well, every day. But especially on the New Year's Eve celebrations that CNN always has with Anderson Cooper.
I believe that they never said it or anything, but I mean, they pretty much let... That's what they wanted from her, right? On their New Year's Eve, you go out and be hideous. And that's do what you do and do it worse than you do.
And because they didn't have her this year, they instead checked in with a reporter in Colorado who was riding the Cannabus. The Cannabus. They're on a bus headed for a marijuana party.
Nothing says New Year's Eve.
Like smoking pot, like doing bong hits on the air,
like being on a Cannabus.
It's interesting because think of everything that's happening there. First of all, you're showing kids how to light a bong, how to smoke a bong in a bong gas mask. You're holding lit joints while you're doing your report. You're on national television. You know children are watching, and it's against federal law, and they still do it. Just really. Outrageous. I don't even understand it.
I don't either. And it's fascinating to me to think when you talk about holding the lit joints, do you know what kind of trouble she would get in? And just let's just back that up a little bit and say that she's doing a report from South Carolina, and mm-hmm. we're doing a tobacco story, and she's got a cigarette, pack of cigarettes on the counter. She's smoking a cigarette, telling you the story.
Oh, there'd be huge outrage.
I mean,
and people cigarettes are legal.
Crazy, yeah. Right? And cigarettes are legal.
Legal. Yeah.
I mean, it's insane to me that they could do this and get away with it as easily as they seem to have gotten away with it.
And Randy Kay was the reporter in Denver, and she actually donned the bong gas mask.
Yeah.
Then she took it off and handed it to some pot smoker.
Because she didn't smoke it.
And lit the pipe for him.
She didn't smoke it.
Lit the bong for him. That's unbelievable.
So good. So good.
So, for some reason, you know, we've expressed the fact that we kind of like Anderson Cooper. We know him a little bit. Glenn knows him very well. And he's been on our show. He's been on the Glenn Beck show. And he's a genuinely decent guy.
Sure seems that way.
I don't like his politics, obviously. Obviously, he leans left. But he always seems to be, to me, tries to be fair. Maybe not always is, but is generally considered a pretty good journalist. How does he associate himself with that debacle on CNN every New Year's Eve?
I mean, that's his deal, right? He wouldn't even,
yeah.
The last time that he, maybe not the last time, one of the times he was here, in the Mercury Studios, I remember talking to him a little bit about the New Year's Eve celebration, and he just kind of blew it off. Like, you know, that's kind of what the deal is. And, mm-hmm. you know, Kathy's nice. And it was, you know, I know it's everybody gives us a hard time over it. I mean, it wasn't like he didn't come out and say they're forcing me to do it. It wasn't
oh, no.
a network. I mean, yeah. it was just that's just part of the deal.
Yeah. So he apparently enjoys it.
Yeah.
Which is strange because. Seems like it erodes his credibility.
Yeah.
And it seems like that happens every year. Eric in Virginia, welcome.
Hey.
Hey.
For having a call, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, my question was earlier, I heard you say something about you're disappointed that football is coming to an end. Now, were you talking about college or were you talking about the NFL?
Yeah, college. But the NFL, too. I just like football.
Well, yeah, I mean, I do too, but you know, with all the stuff that's going on with that, I just feel like these guys are so pampered and they feel like they can protest whenever they want. I'm wondering how you feel about this. Why aren't these guys protesting on the off season? Why aren't they doing something for the greater good in the off season? Like, I believe if we could all band together and really, you know, cut the ratings even more, we could drop the salaries out of these pampered guys and really do some good, maybe send that money to some military that deserve.
Yeah, and besides, college football is just, for me, it's a much more interesting game.
Me too.
No.
I know a lot of people don't feel that way, but...
that's the truth. College football is way better.
Yeah.
You know, they're actually there to play. I feel like these guys, once they get in the NFL,
they're there for the dollar. And my wife has this theory that most NFL games are set up.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I subscribe to that theory, but good for her for...
Although I have seen some calls by the referees that lead me to that decision once in a while.
That is true. Thanks, Eric.
It's not a bad thing saying that the players go to the NFL for the dollars. I mean, that's what that's what you're doing, you know, as you're moving to the next level. If you can make it to the next level and play in the NFL, good.
Yeah, you're obviously going to do that.
Yeah, and you're going. And if they're paying you the money that they want to pay you, thank you.
I know.
You're welcome. Good luck. God bless. But the whole point of the celebrations or the non-celebrations and the protests, and it's gotten, you know, out of hand. It's just a little agonizing.
Yeah, it got away from the NFL this year. They should have nipped it in the bud at the beginning and let those guys do that stuff on their own time. The reason they don't do it on their own time is because nobody would pay attention to
it.
And everybody knows that.
Right.
Go out on a street corner and protest all you want. Don't ruin my football game.
Right.
With your political nonsense. So it is agonizing from that standpoint. But we love football too much.
Yeah, that's for sure.
We make that decision every day, don't we? We're irritated and sick and tired of hearing from the Hollywood leftists, but we go to their movies every weekend.
Yep. And you know, the Sunday game that you want to catch. All right, I'll jump in the middle of the first quarter, then I'd have to see the beginning. The beginning didn't happen then.
Right. 888-727-BECK. Also, the co-anchor with Savannah Guthrie has been named. So Matt Lauer's replacement.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They made the big announcement today.
Excellent.
I think we need a drum roll for this because it's a really special announcement.
What? Now, they could have... I'm sure they went outside the network.
Yeah. They could have gone pretty much anywhere for this.
I mean, it's the Today Show, right?
Right.
Right. It's a foundational show of America.
The big announcement. Hoda Kotb. Wait, who? What? From Kathy Lee Gifford and Hoda.
Oh.
Kathy Lee and Hoda. Is that what they call that show? Hoda Kotb is the new replacement.
Congratulations.
Because... you know, obviously, everybody's been saying, hey, you know who I really love is that Hoda Kotb. Hey, you know, would make the Today Show even better, even if Matt Lauer were still there, I'd fire him to get Hoda Kotb. What a weird decision. That's a weird decision.
I know.
Entire pool that you have to pick from, you go with Hoda? That's just strange.
It sure is.
Maybe it's just me. I'm not as big a Hoda Kotb fan as I probably should be. Well, is that coming through?
I mean, that's obvious. Yes, just the way you're reporting the story. I mean, we don't need a Pew Research Fund study for that.
Probably not. Probably not.
It is strange, though. And it shows also how far Megan either is fallen or how far they actually think that they can take her in the direction they've taken her, because that it would seem to me that job was hers. That job should have been hers.
There's just not, there's not the same.
I know, but it's more of what she does.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's more of what she did and what she became famous
now,
for.
Now, 8 months ago, you would have said, oh, it'll be Megyn Kelly.
I mean, what she did on Fox is nothing. I mean, what she's doing on the Today Show is not even close to what she was doing on Fox.
No.
I mean, this homey mother stuff and interviews and nicey nice and dance and we all get along and everybody's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Doesn't seem to be her deal.
No, it does not.
It just feels disingenuous.
It sure
does, based on past performance.
And I got it. She's a loving mother and a loving wife, and she's working hard and she's doing stuff. But it just doesn't seem like it's her.
Yeah. So this will be interesting to see how that works out. If Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb.
I mean, that's
to team up together. On
I gotta
the Today
tell you,
Show.
Nothing says the Today Show like
Hoda Kotb. Yeah, I mean, it says
think,
it all.
I mean, when you think of the Today Show, think of the history of the Today Show.
Right.
And the people that have come before.
Hoda Kotb.
And now she's.
Now there's.
You've got.
Hoda Kotb.
At the helm.
Yeah. She's. Nothing better.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Pat and Jeffy for Glenn, 888-727-BECK. Still a lot to talk about. We're going to get to some of the new laws, regulations that have been passed. One of them in Texas has just killed the straight party voting situation. So you can no longer go into the booth and vote just straight Republican ticket or straight Democrat ticket. You're actually going to have to go through that ballot one by one and consider each individual vote you cast.
The horror. The horror.
How can they do that to people? Wow. So that's just one of the changes.
Weird that's a big deal.
That's a big deal.
I mean, it's kind of
really
strange
not.
That is.
Yeah,
I don't
it's
understand.
Really not that big a deal. I don't know why you'd even... do legislation on that one way or the other.
I don't either.
People want to do that, let them do it.
When you're reading some of the stories, I mean, some of the local county judges here in Dallas were mm-hmm. saying how much it was going to cost the county to implement it. And I've heard this particular...
Why should it cost anything?
I don't know.
You just Except take you that just, one option off the table.
Right.
It's going to cost you anything?
I don't Strange. Understand that either. Plus, this particular, the one county judge here in Dallas, Clay Jenkins, my favorite county judge in Dallas County, he's saying that he's against it. And so he used to work for Barack Obama, that makes me for it.
yeah. How is it that you are familiar with this county judge?
Because he's on the radio and on the TV here locally all the time. He's... likes to have his mug on the screen all the time and on radio all the time.
I've never once seen him.
Clay Jenkins?
No, I don't, yeah, don't know him at all.
He pretty much thinks he runs the place. He probably does, actually. Runs the joint in you know, the city of Dallas and Dallas County. Mm. Yeah, he's a big-time judge here, big-time okay. guy. Don't mess with Clay Jenkins.
So, okay?
I don't know why you're...
I wouldn't think of it. Until this moment, I didn't even know who he was. Walt in Illinois, welcome to the Glenn Beck Program.
Yes, good morning. I just wanted to mention on the second day of the new year, so it is still another year. It's about time to get this way behind us.
Okay.
The idea that the polls, the national polls, the Democrats and progressives and media bullied them and shout them from the rooftops,
mm-hmm.
and the conservatives are in fear of them. And what that goes back to, I heard on the Glenn Beck Show back in the early summer of 2016, that the polls and were not very much in Hillary's favor. She was only up by a couple of points, and they couldn't figure out why.
Mm-hmm.
So the national polls decided to stop interviewing or polling anyone that didn't vote in the 2012 election. Well, we all know that there were 4 million plus evangelicals that didn't vote for Mitt Romney for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And they no longer were going to be in the part of the polling process. That very same time, a couple of weeks later, Hillary's numbers started increasing, and everybody just took those new polls as the gospel. Well, those 4 million people came out and voted for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they are wrong. They've been wrong ever since. Again, I remember Beck mentioning that fact early on. You guys are going to make national headlines because of something that I am probably the only person in the entire world that realized that happened, and no one has showered it. The conservatives are still totally in fear of these national polls.
Yeah,
and they're always wrong. They always quote them as being wrong, or the conservatives always say that they're wrong. They don't say why. That was why. And that's really all I have to promote.
All right.
But again, you guys can make national headlines with this on all the news tonight just by letting the Democrats know that they do have something to fear in these midterm elections because the national polls that they're using now mm-hmm. still do not include those 4 million evangelicals that they knocked out of the polling questions back in 2016.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks, Walt.
I wouldn't hold your breath.
I wouldn't look for this on the news.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't hold your breath for that national news report from the Glenn Beck program. I would doubt that's going to happen.
Yeah, I can guarantee that's not going to happen. They won't say a word about that. 888-727-BECK. Also, we got to tell you about this new decision by the military that they're apparently going to seek out trans people for recruitment.
Right.
They're actually going to recruit trans people now.
Okay.
Rather than just let them come if they want to or not, they're actively seeking them. And I don't know if that's based on some research that has shown that transsexual people are better soldiers than non-transsexuals, but...
I'd like to see that research.
Yeah, I'd like to see it too. We'll kick that around a little bit on the Glenn Beck program with Pat and Jeffy.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck program
with Pat and Jeffy. Stay tuned for Pat Gray Unleashed immediately following this show on the Blaze Radio and TV Network. 888-727-BECK. Some of the new laws that we're looking at as the new year begins include the one in Texas that eliminates the possibility of just voting straight ticket. Not a huge deal. In California, employers can no longer ask about your prior salary. Job applicants can volunteer that information if they want to, but you can't ask, hey, what'd you make before? What were you making? Strange, right?
Right.
About, why would the government get involved in that negotiation at all?
I'm guessing, I don't know, but I'm guessing that they figure that you should be paid for what you're worth on this job. And your past.
I guess, but...
I mean, who answers that truthfully anyway?
Nobody.
Thank you. What'd you make on your last job?
$17.9 million. Now I'm willing to come for somewhat less than that, but
you might be able to work out something else.
Got
to
be in the ballpark. A new Nevada law requires employers to grant up to 160 hours of leave per year to employees who are victims of domestic violence or have family members who are victims. Or who know someone who is a victim,
that's...
or who has ever heard of being a victim.
Well, I have heard, and I'm
well. Then you've got 160 hours coming. Employers in Vermont can't request or require employees to provide their social media content.
Ooh.
That act is meant to provide social media privacy for employees. Well, that's kind of strange because you don't have it if it's on social media. You've already compromised your privacy, haven't you?
Yeah, it's kind of. They want their cake and eat it too, right? You want to be able to have your social media, but you want to be able to have your job, and you want to be able to say bad things about your company. Well, guess what? Part of your job is representing the company you work for.
Yeah,
I mean, that's your life, right? Maybe that's just my old school thinking, but you know, you represent who you work for.
Yes.
And that's kind of my deal with the NFL too. These players are, talking about, slave owners, and we should be able to, and freedom of speech. Well, you signed a contract.
Yeah, I'd love to
provide a service.
Love to be a $7 million a year slave.
Right.
It'd be awesome.
I mean, but you signed, the contract is you signed a contract to provide a service for this amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Do your job.
Yeah, exactly.
And if the job says, "Hey, your Twitter account, you can't say anything bad against whatever team you're playing for," that's the deal.
Yeah.
Don't sign the contract.
Also, California has become the latest state to legalize recreational marijuana. So we can stop pretending, I think, that this is about medicinal marijuana, right? In every state where it's legal, it's recreational now.
I think we've pretty much passed that a long time ago.
That boat sailed.
Yeah.
It's amazing how society is changing at an exponential rate now. In the last 20 years, we went from a country that was 65-27 against same-sex marriage to a country that is 62-32 in favor of same-sex marriage. We've also gone from a society that overwhelmingly wanted marijuana to be illegal to a society where it's overwhelming that they're saying marijuana should be legal now.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing, the shift. So, California, now you don't have to pretend like you've got anxiety.
Oh, it's glaucoma. It's killing me today.
Or an upset stomach. You know, you don't have to pretend anymore. You just, you'll be able to have it at your disposal, I guess, at these dispensaries. So it's pretty mainstream now.
And I know they've had some studies out that talked about how it didn't help medically for mm-hmm. some patients.
Yeah.
But I've witnessed that it did help.
Oh, really?
In my life. And, you know, I mean, there should be some leeway for the, and obviously now it doesn't matter, but, you know, the leeway for the medical
yeah.
marijuana for sure. If you're.
Yeah,
if,
but it's gone way beyond
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we're already about
doesn't even matter now. That.
Right.
August 4th is now officially Barack Obama Day, a state holiday in Illinois.
Oh, good. Man, I hope that spreads all
that's
over the country.
That's great. That's great. I do too. Barbers can now make house calls in Tennessee. So a barber
good.
Couldn't come to your house
No,
before?
I'm going to tell you something. You know, those little barbers coming around, knocking on your door.
Yeah, you don't want that. You can't
banging
have
on
that.
Your door. Hey, you need a haircut? No, you don't want that.
If I had one barber knock on my door in the last few weeks, I would have had one barber knock on my door.
I would be all for that. Can I haircut? Yeah, come on in.
This is also important. Corn is now the official grain of Illinois.
You got to have an official grain.
How many times have we had calls saying, when is corn going to be declared the official grain?
I mean, I can't count them many calls right now.
I don't know if it's corn or if it's wheat or if it's barley, right. But I want corn to be the official grain. I don't even care about wheat and barley anymore.
Can they do that, though? I mean, I thought corn was like the official grain of Nebraska. Can they steal that from another state?
Apparently.
Who do they think they are?
They're doing it. We'll have to take this all the way to the Supreme Court
yes.
See if that's constitutional. Also, public officers such as elected officials and managers who are convicted of a felony that's relevant to their jobs can have their pensions revoked or reduced. Wow, we got to get Ooh. That for Congress.
So
that's interesting.
If I get in trouble,
You could lose your pension if you commit a felony. That's interesting.
That's very interesting.
That's interesting.
I like that.
Did you also read? Yeah, of course you don't like that. Did you also see that right at the beginning of our vacation, this was a couple of weeks ago, Sheila Jackson Lee wanted to board a flight, and apparently
yes.
she didn't have a ticket, and
yeah.
she decided she needed one, and she was going home. And she wanted to go first class.
Yes, and she gets first, you know, our Congress people get the first, you know, the first grab of right from the airline.
So they kicked a woman
yes.
off the flight who had a first class ticket and inserted Sheila Jackson Lee in that seat.
Well, they actually, I think she flew. She flew, right? They moved her back to steerage.
They did? She didn't take the first class?
No, I think they just moved her back to steerage.
It's unbelievable.
We don't have any first class available. We know you paid for it, and we know that you specifically...
Because
you know,
the report I read was that the woman was taken off the flight in first class or put in coach, and Sheila Jackson Lee took her
Yeah, yeah,
her place
no, that's what I mean. The
class.
Yeah, the lady still flew. She just flew in steerage
yes.
and not first class.
But you
yeah.
buy a first class ticket, and you're going back to coach?
Oh, my gosh.
No way.
No. Oh, my God.
You're going to have to arrest me because I'm...
Because she took a picture when she was boarding. There was a.
I'd be out of my mind.
There was a photo of Sheila Jackson Lee talking on the cell phone in first class as she walked by. There was a photo of her sitting in first class. And,
unbelievable.
I don't know if it was from the lady who got the boot.
Yeah,
but,
probably.
It was fascinating to see Sheila just sitting there. And it was just... It's agonizing that, you know, it's expected. She doesn't care.
That just shows you that we're a nation
Absolutely.
Of people, not a nation of laws. And like these elected officials are above the
they
rest
sure
of us.
They sure are. They sure feel that way. They,
how do you take me out of my first class seat, which I paid a lot of money for, and bump me back to coach and put her in just because she's a congresswoman? You put her in my seat.
Yep.
I would be.
Oh, man.
I'm livid,
oh, man.
And it didn't happen to me.
I know. I don't know that I would handle it well. I would hope if this particular story happened around me, I would hope that my wife was with me so that I would not be thrown in jail. And then again, I still might be thrown in jail
because
I would be through the roof. No, Congresswoman, you are not taking my seat
right. That
I paid for. No.
It's just no way.
No, that is not happening.
No way. But they're above us, Jeffy. They're above us. They're better human beings than we are. 888-727 Beck. Melody in Indiana. Welcome to the Glenn Beck program.
I don't believe that the people in the House and the Senate really want to own the immigration and Obamacare and all the other issues.
Mm-hmm.
How many times did they vote against Obamacare for 8 years when Obama was in, when they knew they couldn't do anything about it?
50 or more?
Yeah, no more.
I think more than 50 times.
They had an opportunity. They knew a year ago, just the minute after, well, the next day after Trump was president, they knew they should be getting ready. And then now they're even encouraging people to vote against Roy Moore, who was questionable. But they were knowing that they could lose that seat. To me, they say with their mouths one thing, but they honestly don't want to own these issues.
Yes.
And that's where the problem is. And we need to get them cleaned out.
You're exactly right. Appreciate it, Melody. If we could get people to understand that, stop just automatically putting incumbents back in their seat over and over and over again. Some of these people have won their seats 20 to 30 times.
Yeah.
John Conyers, 28 times.
Think of that.
28 times they reelected that guy. Jeez. Well, they reelected him 27 times.
Right.
Lynn in South Carolina. Welcome to the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Great. I just wanted to, first of all, please say that I am not trying to hurt anybody.
Okay.
But I see how people are coming in through particularly grocery stores. Mm-hmm. And have one child in the hand, another child in the shopping cart, then the woman's pregnant. This happens with a lot of people that are coming in from even the United States, but from different countries as well. And my primary concern is this, is that people are relying upon too much the United States to support their ways by having too many children that they cannot themselves support. The government is running out of funding. And it's very important that people understand not to create new life and not to be able to sustain that child's life, because eventually the gravy train is going to end. And I know myself, I'm a happily divorced, battered wife. Mm. And I will say this very openly, and it's very personal, that whenever I was married to a very abusive man, I had my tubes tied because I would not create a life and had that child exposed to what I was exposed. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying.
DACA
people, immigrants, people in the United States that were born here, please take care of your own families whenever you can. Mm-hmm. Sometimes things happen. That's understood. Disabilities, illnesses, but do not have child after child knowing you cannot personally take care of that child
but
your own means.
You're not saying that there should be government intervention into procreation, though, are you?
No, sir. What I'm saying is, very frankly, is that eventually government funding does run out.
Yes, it does.
And whenever that does run out, how are these little children going to be fed?
Yeah.
That's what's concerning me, plus also the hospitalizations. There's so much involved.
Yeah. Appreciate the call. Thanks, Lynn.
It's a big concern.
However, I don't know what you do about that. You're not going to get into reproduction. You're not going to tell people when they can have children and when they can't. That's dangerous business. That's Chinese communist government business, is when you're limiting family sizes of the poor, or, you know, the only way to stop that is through legislation. And I'm certainly not in favor of that. I appreciate that Lynn went through some really hard times, and I'm sorry about that. But you can't jump into people's lives like that and say, stop having children.
Well, we're not telling you to stop having children, Pat. What we're saying is that, you know, maybe perhaps you should limit to two. We're not telling you to stop having kids.
What we're saying is
maybe we're just, you know, limit to, you know.
And what I'm saying is you can't do that. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying is you can't do that. You know, and the way to do that is to fix our society by getting back to personal responsibility.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Which is, you know, from where we're at now, that's a long road.
It is.
That's a long road.
We're a long way away.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray, Jeff Fisher. Just in case you didn't know, his last name is our caller a while ago.
Oh, that is my last name.
That is your last name. Yeah.
Amazing.
888-727 Beck. Let's go to Tom in Kentucky. Hey, Tom, welcome to the Glenn Beck program with Pat Gray and Jeffy.
Great show, guys.
Thank you.
This is Tom Murphy from Kentucky. Hey, if I were king, I tell you what I would love to see happen in English, that we would have a detailed list, both the hard left, the socialist left, whatever, and some of the rights that don't know where they're at, of what this country needs to be like. Let's take the time, spend it where we check it off. You have to be an actual citizen of this country that can speak English, that knows where we come and how great we have been. And let's make a list, detail out that you have to prove who you are, proper identification, no BS here, and that we check this thing off, and let's get this country headed in a direction of what we want. Our forefathers pretty well laid it out, but it's obvious we got smoke screens everywhere. Everybody wants favors. Everybody wants this country to be filled with others that don't know what it is, because the rest of the world can't figure out how we've done it, so now we're trying to bring this country down to their levels, and it's not going to happen. Can't do it, and it's never going to be total peace no matter what anywhere. So let's, before we lose this country, let's get an itemized list, and let's all work towards the list is what, if I was king, that's how I would do it.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Appreciate it. Although, Jeffy, did you hear the hatred there?
I most certainly did.
Did you hear the hatred?
It was agonizing.
This hate monger wants to know if people are actual citizens before they vote? What?
I mean, I'm surprised that we left that racist on that long. Okay, it was screaming.
Interesting to note, Iowa voters will be asked to show their IDs at the polls. That actually passed. That's one of the laws taking effect this year.
That'll get shot down.
In Iowa.
That won't stand.
We'll see. We'll see if that stands. Make sure you tune in for the Pat Gray Unleashed program coming up immediately following this one on the Blaze Radio and TV Network. We'll see you tomorrow right back here.
Glenn Beck.